Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Changes are coming to the E911 office in Marion County. Let's learn more about them and go in depth with John McCoy, director of the E911 office, Knoxville. So, John, what does the E911 office do?
There's a long list of things, and I don't have it in front of me, but basically this job is to manage the 911 system in Marion County, fulfill all the requirements that the state has of how you install equipment and how it works and how you pay for it and how you actually do use those funds that comes in from your telephone bill. This office is not paid by the taxpayers, so to speak, out of the general fund. It's paid by a surcharge on cell phones and landline phones, phones in your home, and that's what funds 911.
Well, and you told me a few years ago that with fewer people having landlines, that was impacting E911 offices all across probably the country. But now there's been a charge on cell phones now to help with that, because we all want 911 service wherever we are, right?
Absolutely, and that is true. We've seen our landline funds drop dramatically over the years because people taking out their home phones, and I know I've even been on your program saying that isn't a wise move. Well, it's hard not to do when the location accuracy of the cell phones gets advertised as being so good. I mean, they're not bad, and we're spending a lot of money, and the state is, and the whole country is, the whole industry, to make them better. But what happens is when you drop that home phone, that's a dollar a month that in this tax area, this county, that goes away from your 911 board. However, the state and the legislators decided to up the amount that you get off your cell phone based on a call volume and some of those things. So the wireless money that the county receives actually goes up. It's not enough to offset the loss of landline, but it sure helps.
The cell phones have gotten better at locating us. Let's just say, for example, I live in an apartment building, and I know that my landline in the apartment building, they would know where to go to. They would know what apartment, right?
Yes.
The first responders. But how about my cell phone in the apartment building if I call 911?
Well, your cell phone will locate. Normally, the cell phone needs to try to make it. First, it makes a tower acquisition, and then it knows what tower you're bouncing off of. And you're probably within, I don't want to make this as a dumb question, but it is part of the location program. Because now you know you're probably within 10 miles of that tower, and it knows what side of the tower you're on. So that's starting to add information. And that used to be how it worked. It used to be called smart tower, dumb phone technology. And now it's smart phone tower. I'm not going to call it dumb tower. But the thing is, now it grabs a GPS location off of the GPS satellite system. Your phone is a mini GPS receiver. So the system was changed to allow those digits, those GPS information, to be sent along with the 911 call. The 911 equipment at the sheriff's office, or in our case, the Pella PD also, which is a remote off of us, it determines what the location is by GPS of those numbers. So you need to, I tell people, you know, if you can, step outside when you're dialing 911 or get next to a window to try to get a better acquisition of satellites, because one's kind of good, two's really good, and three will pinpoint you pretty decent, three or four locations. And the phone is smart enough to keep sending that information. The dispatchers, they're trained to rebid that information because they know it can keep coming in. Surprisingly, though, many of those calls are pinpointable by the first time they dial and they're in the home.
All right, in the home, but maybe not in the apartment. You know what apartment building I'm in, but you don't know if I'm on the third floor or in the northwest corner or whatever, do you?
No, the cell phone has no way of knowing what floor you're on. But, I mean, you know, there's some things that's just never going to be attained. Mm-hmm. That's like small businesses that have their private phone systems, PBX systems. Sometimes they have one number they pay the bill on, but they have three extensions, and maybe it's out in another building. We just ran into this the other day at a location. Well, that phone number out in the other building was never given to 911. It's not a billing number. It's nothing else. Everything was given. So when somebody calls from that shop, 911, it comes to the main building. I mean, that's better than being in the wrong, you know, down. That's better than nothing. But we sure would like those systems programmed that phone says 911, so-and-so's business shop, building one, building two. Companies like Vermeer, Pellicorp, all of their systems, 3M, I'm sure, all of their systems have been programmed to send that proper information.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with John McCoy, director of the E911 office. So your office is also responsible for those nice red address signs out in the county, right?
Yes, we take care of all this, the 911 street signs, the addressing street signs. I don't care if the county engineer takes care of stop signs and everything, and they have their hands full with that. We've got approximately 1,000 or more street signs out there. It tells you what street or avenue you're on and all the intersections in the county. And also, every resident, we have a program that we chose red and white back in 1992 or 3, the 911 board did, because everybody around us was green or blue going to be, and we thought, well, you know, it does help. I don't know if it did, but we had people try to, but some other counties did it too, to try to differentiate yourself from county lines and stuff like that. So we are in a new program right now to update those. We're going around the county. We've got all the street signs updated to meet some new standards that was passed down by the federal government, and their reflectivity standards. And a lot of our signs are getting old and you can't read them. So if you've got a faded resident marker or something out there, we're going to get to it. It's just, we try to go around the county like a clock so we know where we've been.
And you have something to do with managing the database too, is that right?
Well, for years, yes, we did. And basically, we just had so many issues with incorrect locations. I think the phone companies, and when 911 first started, they really didn't understand the process, and they didn't realize there were so many cases where the billing numbers and the billing address and the location address wasn't the same. And just there was a time when we had to say, that's it. We're going to manage our own database. So we hired a company, GDS, and we started managing our database, and we've seen how nice it was that other counties were having a change, and it would have to go through the phone system and a correction, and it would take days or sometimes weeks. Well, that number's still laying out there wrong. We found out we could change it that day. We could have it back in the 911 system correct. And so we still maintain that, and I have Ramsey Communications over in Williamsburg does that for us now. But the next generation systems that we've just put in and everything is changing, that's probably going to end, because, you know, having an on-site database is another layer of issues that probably doesn't outweigh the fact that we can get rid of that. But it sure is nice to be able to make your corrections in-house.
None of this is cheap. Where does all the funding come from?
All the funding for 911 comes from that surcharge. There is no... when I took this job, the Board of Supervisors asked me if I could do a project and get the street signs up as mandated by law and the resident and get an addressing system. I remember Ray Stone and the engineer's office helped us, and they gave me, I believe, $100,000 to start the project and get it done. And we got the street signs up, we got the county address, and we got an official map made, all for that $100,000. And then the first time we had a vote for the surcharge, it failed. And I think it was just because the public didn't realize exactly everything for it. So the second time we had a vote for it, I think it was 75 cents. The second time we voted, we requested a dollar, and it won by a large margin. So all of that money was paid back to the county and over a period of 5 years, and then we've continued on.
Well, and you were telling me a little bit earlier that you received word on a grant.
Well, there's been several grants in the county, but the latest one is to take the 911, I'm going to say the 911 platform that the county had, which was a telephone system, which everybody would agree with that, and it still is a telephone system, but take it out of the telephone world and put it over into the IP world or the Internet protocol world. So that's exactly where it went. And this is all based on the fact that 911, NENA, the National Emergency Number Association, the federal government, everybody decided that 911 needed to start being able to accept texting. And it does help out a lot of things, and I won't go through every issue why somebody would use text. It isn't available yet. Just because we've installed the next generation, the methodology of getting that text hasn't been finalized to get it done, but soon you'll be able to text 911.
I guess you might do that when you needed to be quiet or something?
Well, I mean, if you could think of any cases where people were afraid to speak, maybe, or you know what, another big thing is that in the past, and today currently, we have TDD systems, we have Relay Iowa to help deaf people and people that's trying to communicate that can't over the phone. And this, I think, will be I just can't imagine how great texting is to those people that have those difficulties. And now they won't have to use these other options to get 911. They'll be able to text to 911. There'd be people someday, soon, you'll be able to send a video or a picture over your phone. Let's say you've had an accident and or whatever, you can send this to the phone. I mean, or the benefits of being on the internet is just unlimited. However, the poor thing is the dispatcher. The dispatchers are going to be, they're overloaded now with information, and to just have all this, I don't think there has to be some guards put in place. Like one car wreck can generate so many cell phone calls right now. And people trying to be good about it, but right. It just basically can overload the system. Well, can you imagine if they all were sending videos of the same wreck or the same incident? So, and then if you just shut them off, you might have a second event going on. So you have to answer every one of them. So I just hope those things will be figured out. I'm just not going to be the guy that's going to be worrying about it. I am, because I want 911 to work.
Well, the whole world will change. Can you imagine in a big city all that information coming in, how they'd process that?
I don't know if that's all been thought out. And, some things are really great to keep improving, and other things are sometimes they work basic better. And, in fact, we used to just call it basic 911. You dial 911, and we got your phone number. You know, that's what, when I first started here, I think it's important to tell in any story of 911 was that the police chief in Pella was Gene Voss, and the sheriff of Marion County was Marv Van Haften, and they took it upon themselves to be one of the first counties, our size by far, but in Iowa, and they bought with their own money a 911 system and put it in ring down cards, and that was called the basic 911. So that's Marion County, I feel, has been ahead of the gate, out of the gate, ahead of the pack a long time.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with John McCoy, director of the E911 office.
And how long have you been coordinator?
The board appointed me in 1989, I believe. I don't have that paperwork in front of me, but I think in 89 is when I started going to the meetings that actually set this up, when we met with the legislators to try to what the counties wanted and what the state wanted and how this was all going to work. So I don't know exactly when they appointed me, but it was around that time.
And you'd worked for the county before then? You were a county employee then and moved over?
Yes, I was, at that time, I was a county sanitarian. I did all the septic inspections and health department complaints. I was the zoning administrator for the county. I think I started in 1978. And then I was also emergency management coordinator since 84 at that time. And then after I took on 911 for a year or two, I found out no way could I keep up with all of that we hired an assistant to emergency management.
Okay, so for the county since 1978.
Yes.
And you're retiring?
Yes, this year, December 31st.
So share a few thoughts with us on retirement.
Well, I mean, since I'm working clear through it, this project isn't done. I can't really share too much on retirement. I'm probably just going to work every day. I've been just working on little things to get cleaned up here. I've been meeting with the 911 people a little bit so that we'll try to get a seamless thing here. They're going to have to. A lot of things have changed in the office. It isn't that it's, I guess, a full-time position anymore. It's when we went to Next Gen, you've heard the old statement, I basically hired my own assassin. Well, that's kind of what I've done. I've worked myself out of a job that so many outside sources are going to be managing that. But there's a lot of things to be done internally, so.
Who makes the decision about your replacement or where this position goes? Is it the Board of Supervisors?
No, actually, it's the Marion County 911 Board. The Board of Supervisors does have a seat on it. When the 911, back in the late 80s, they set this up. Every political subdivision in the county, well, the state of Iowa, but in your county, has a voting membership on the 911 Board. And if they have a EMS service, a police officer, a fire truck or ambulance that qualified. So I just off the top of my head, I think there's 9 qualifying political subdivisions, and they all have equal votes on the 911 board. They have some non-voting members that would be services outside of the county or private ambulance companies, and they can sit on the board. They're just not allowed to vote. Like the emergency management coordinator, he sits on the board, but he's not a voting member. So that, with that being said, that's a good system. I can't find any fault with having a 911 board ran by all of the providers in the county. So the county board of supervisors, though, being the biggest single political subdivision, the county, the board of supervisors, they pick one of the board to sit on the board. And doesn't necessarily be chairman. It has been in the past. Normally, over the years, it's just been ran differently. Today, the chairman is Marcia Slycord. She's the head dispatch, works at the police department for years over in Pella, and she's very aware of 911. She's been a very good board member and chairman. So Marv Van Haften was chairman for years, and Gary Verbers, and we just had a lot of time. I know I'm leaving somebody out, and I hate to, but I think Sam Nichols was the board of supervisor. I think he was the chairman, though, for a while. So it's just whatever the 911 board selects to be their chair.
And so they'll be working this out.
They will be working this out and finding out how they want to keep the office going, and maybe certain parts of the office. Like Melissa Poffenbarger and the zoning administrator, she took over as zoning. But she also is the key to the addressing side. You know, zoning, you have to get a building permit, you get assigned an address. And then that address gets into the system, and the 911 coordinator looks at it. They agree, because there's a thing called a master street address guide. Believe it or not, you just don't assign an address willy-nilly, nor can an individual assign their own address. And if an incorrect address is assigned, it gets kicked out immediately by the database. And so that's where your MSAG administrator, the 911 coordinator, goes back and fixes it.
Very complex. Well, and I think most of us don't understand. It's just magic. We dial 911.
Yep, that's exactly right. And, you know, it's always amazed me. I said, I've been in this years, and I was sitting by a guy that knew more about telephone systems from New York to California. And I said, man, I'm just amazed that you can dial 911 and it gets to the right police department. He says, buddy, I'm still amazed that you can pick up the phone and somebody in California can talk to you in 1 second from New York.
Thanks to John McCoy for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.